Hopefully I'll get you out of here on time this week. I've been going a little bit over, so try to get to the lesson a little bit earlier. So as we go to back to the basics, one thing that distinguishes, we're going to start off with this, one thing that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions, all other faiths in the world, is that it's not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a religion that you earn your way into heaven. And something you guys have heard over and over is it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that does distinguish what Christianity is. We have the opportunity to have a relationship with a holy and a righteous God through Jesus Christ. But so often we hear that, and we've heard it so many times, that we can kind of just shrug it off, can't we? Like, hey, you know what? That's cool. I've heard it a million times. But we don't really let that sink in to what that means, that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe. Guys, that is awesome. We can have a relationship with the God who is in control of all things, and He wants to personally know each and every one of you guys. And we cannot view our Christian growth as a list of do's and don'ts. Guys, it's got to be an affectionate growth, an affectionate response to what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so often, if we're all honest with ourselves, and I'll be honest with you, there are times when our hearts really grow kind of cold to the things of God's Word. Grow cold to who God is, the gospel, what He's done for us. And as Christians, we have entered into a relationship, again, what we've already said, with the Creator of the universe. Just take a minute to think about that. You have the opportunity to know the one who created everything. Now, if you like find a celebrity walking on the street, somebody's like, whoa, I get to know them. Like, if you knew that person before they're famous, people think it's really cool. But that is so insignificant in comparison to knowing the God of the universe. I mean, He's awesome. He's incredible. So your first and most important discipline in your Christian life ought to be cultivating a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so often we kind of skip that and we go straight to like the, hey, I'm not supposed to do this. I am supposed to do this. And we go straight to that list of do's and don'ts. And that can get pretty discouraging, can't it? Like, hey, I'm not meeting up to these expectations. I'm not fulfilling these. And we can get really discouraged and we can get really disheartened. And we need to grow closer to Jesus Christ as we hear Him speak through His Word, as we pray to Him, and also just as we get to know Him. So this is where we're going to start in our series. First thing that we've got to build a foundation on, and we're going back to the basics. You're not going to hear much new today. But we have got to grow closer to Christ in our relationship with Him. And this is where we're going to start. We need to grow close to Christ. Everything in our walk with Christ goes back to our heart. What is in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our actions come from what we really believe in our heart. And we've got to build the foundation of loving and serving Jesus Christ. What's the greatest commandment? To love God with your whole heart. That's the first commandment that God gives. So we're going to start there. And I'm going to specifically pray before we go any farther today. Father, we come to you and ask that you would just put your hand of blessing upon the message this morning, that you would strengthen any deficiencies that I have, that you'd help it to be clear, you'd help it to be effective. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be open to what you have for us today, that we would not be resistant, that we would not seek to, in our own pride, think that we don't need to change anything, but you would help us to be humble, you would help us to respond. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So you've ever had one of those moments where you like walk into a room and you're just like, why am I here? Like, why did I come here? Like, I hate when that happens. Now, I work in this building. Now, this building is like, when Pastor showed me the building, he said, this is the longest hallway in fundamentalism. So when I work and I leave my office and I go somewhere to do something and I get to the room and I'm like, why am I even here? That's like a 5-minute walk. So it gets really, really annoying. And there's often times when I leave my house and I go down to my truck, I reach in my pocket to pull out my keys to start the engine and they're not there. So I have to go back inside, get my keys. And we're pretty forgetful people, aren't we? Like, we forget a lot of small things all the time. But even spiritually, we can become very forgetful. And we can forget very big things. You know those moments where your stomach just, like, sinks when you walk into a class? And all of a sudden, the teacher starts talking about a test. And you're like, I have a test today? What? Like, you start freaking out. And this is probably one of the worst nightmares for someone who could be married. Right? Like they have this testimony, they walk into the house, they're like, hey, I came home from work, and all of a sudden, she handed me a card. And I opened the card, and I forgot what date it was until I looked at my phone. It was our anniversary, and I had absolutely nothing. Right? Like that would be that guy is in trouble. Like that is a big deal. So we can forget small things, We can forget huge things. All the married guys in the rooms are really responding. If you forgot your anniversary, it is a big deal, right? And so we can forget small, we can forget big, and oftentimes we forget like the most foundational thing about our Christian life. Like what allowed us to even enter into a relationship with the God of the universe. And this morning we're going to focus on that a little bit and kind of go back to the basics. And we're forgetful people. So when you need to remember something, what are some tricks you use to remember it? How do you guys remember things? Riley, write on your hand.
Use a mnemonic device.
Use a mnemonic device. I don't even know what mnemonic means. But is that like an acrostic? Okay, whatever. Mnemonic device. That's over my head. Caleb.
Write it
in your assignment pads. Now, for me, like I live my life according to my to-do list and my reminders app on my phone. If someone talks to me and it sparks a reminder of something I'm supposed to do, I immediately write it in there, because if not, I'm going to forget all these things. And so when I live my life and go through my reminders app, that is something that I constantly go back to throughout the day. What am I supposed to be doing now? I go and check it out, I look at it, and that helps me and guides me through my day. Sparks my memory. My to-do list is something I constantly go back to. So to remember something, we need to rehearse it. We need to repeatedly go over it in our minds. We need to constantly go back to it. So today we're going to go back to the foundations, and I have to remember things spiritually that I've got to constantly go back to and rehearse them over and over in my mind. And we're going to look at the gospel this morning. Have you ever wondered why we have communion? Anybody know? Like, have you sat there and thought, why do we do this? Why do we have the Lord's Supper? I'm going to give you a little bit of a reminder. What does the table say on it? This do in remembrance of me, right? From Luke chapter 22. God has set up this system that we regularly go back to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We remember that his body was broken. We go back and we constantly have to rehearse that his blood was spilt, that he paid for the cost of our sins. So God has built in this system, even in the way that we worship him, that we constantly go back and remind ourselves what God has done for us. We take time to remember Jesus. Now, those are real events. They really happened 2,000 years ago. A guy named Jesus, who physically lived on this earth, died on a cross and did all kinds of miracles, and he rose again. That sounds pretty cold, doesn't it? But so often that's kind of how we think about it in communion. And something can become very historical facts to us, and they're not drawing affection out of our hearts. So it's got to be more than just historical facts, because when you're going through history class, you're not feeling very affectionate for George Washington, are you? Like, you don't go through a lesson, you're like, man, I love that guy. Like, George Washington was awesome. Like, you don't think like that. But sometimes that's how we are when we read the Bible. Like, it's just very cold, it's facts to us, and we've talked about this a lot recently, but when you consider the gospel, the good news is it just like you're studying some cold, hard facts. Hey, Jesus died, he rose again, that's cool. Because the good news of the gospel is not just factual, it is very relational. That is how we enter a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, main thing this morning, you need to meditate on the gospel to grow close to Christ. Very back to the basics. You've got to meditate on the gospel. Go back to it. Rehearse it. Bring it back up in your mind. Constantly go back to what God did for you. Because, guys, God pursued us. He pursued us through the gospel. He pursued us in a relationship with us by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. So we need to pursue Jesus Christ by remembering the gospel. Pursue a relationship with him. So we can go back to the gospel. So first thing, how are we going to do this? We can pursue Christ, very simple concept, through the simplicity of the gospel. Sometimes we can make things very overly complicated, can't we? Like we make things, we give them like 12 steps, 13 steps, and you're like, I can't keep track of all this, right? And like so often we just need to go back to the simplicity of what the gospel is. So one of the most challenging things to do as a parent of a young children is to put things into words that they can understand. Right? Like they don't understand all the phrases we use. We have to put it in like the most basic concepts for them. So a few days ago while we were eating dinner, Colton was like talking to me while we were eating and he's getting stuck in the middle of a sentence. And he kept saying like the beginning of the sentence, but he couldn't figure out how to say the second half. So he's like, Daddy, yesterday I, and he like couldn't get it out. And so I look at him while we're eating dinner, and I said, Colton, just spit it out. And he's like, spit what out? Like, he's got food in his mouth, and he's really confused, and he's like, what do I do with this? And like, I use this phrase that like, he didn't understand. And so often we can use Christian phrases that we don't really understand. So hopefully as we go back to the basics, we're going to give kind of the simplest of terms. And guys, the gospel is very, very simple. It shouldn't just be a bunch of facts to Christians. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little background to John chapter 9. In this passage, Jesus passed by a man who was blind from birth. He was born blind. And when the disciples saw him, anybody remember what their automatic reaction was? What was their question? Colin?
Like, what sin he had done?
Yeah, who sinned? This man or his parents? So their automatic assumption, they were judging immediately, and they're saying, hey, you know what? His blindness is a result, is a curse from God because somebody sinned. So they had this automatic response to it, and Jesus corrects them. He said, you know what? He was not born blind because of sin. He was born blind so that the works of God might be manifest in him, so that I could glorify myself through him. So he was there for this purpose. Let's pick it up in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So God wanted to use this man's life as an example to perform a miracle on the earth. He wanted to show Jesus' power. Read on in verse number 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. I'm going to pause here because Colton was taught this in Sunday school. Another funny story I'm going to share with you. He taught this in Sunday school that Jesus spit on the ground and made mud and put it in the guy's eye. And so Colton rose his hand to the teacher and he said, so did Jesus get a timeout? Because my daddy says it's bad to spit. And so like, again, he didn't quite understand what was going on in this story. And like, he's not allowed to spit. So he's like, did Jesus get a timeout? I was like, I don't think Jesus ever got a timeout, buddy. So like, Colton misunderstood this again, but the story isn't over. So moving on in this, the religious leaders, they were going through life and they were getting more and more jealous of Jesus, right? They wanted to discredit him. They wanted people to believe that what Jesus had just done, the miracle that Jesus had just done by removing the blindness, that it was some sort of trick. So what they did is they actually called the blind man in and they started questioning him about Jesus. Hey, who did this? Were you really blind from your birth? So they didn't like the answers. So they called in his parents. Again, they're like, hey, we don't know, ask him. So they brought him back in. They still weren't getting the answers that they wanted. And they called him back in. Skip down to verse 24. John 9, 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. So pause. The religious leaders were like, hey, you know what? Jesus didn't do this. God did it. We know that that guy's a sinner. They're trying to discredit Jesus. Verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He put his miracle in like the simplest of terms possible for the religious leaders who were being jealous. They're like, you know what? He said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know much, but what I do know is that this morning I couldn't see, and now I can see, and it's because of Jesus. Jesus did it. And everyone as a believer should be able to relate to this. That spiritually, at some point, we were blind. We didn't have understanding. We didn't understand God's word. We refused to accept the idea that anything was wrong with us and that we were a sinner. And so we were all blind, but now, in the simplest of terms, Christ made us see. You are no longer blind to your sin if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You no longer think you've got it all together, and the gospel changes everything for you. So guys, bring it back up here. The gospel is not just some good news. It's not just out there. It's not just ambiguous. The gospel is your good news. There's historical facts. Jesus did die on a cross. He rose again. He paid for our sins. But that has a lot of personal ramifications for each and every one of us. It's not just some good news for somebody somewhere. It is your good news. So for you to grow spiritually, you've got to replay the gospel and what Christ has done for you over and over again in your mind. That you were once blind, but now you see. If you were blind physically, and then you were given sight, you wouldn't take that for granted. I mean, that would be an awesome thing for you. You've never seen before, and now you see. I mean, you would never take your eyes for granted. But so often we take our spiritual life for granted as we forget to meditate on the gospel. So there's only one gospel, one way of salvation, but it applies to everyone. But you have a specific gospel story. God has saved you from your sin. When was the last time you really meditated on that? Think about how many times you sinned yesterday. And God has given you mercy and grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, you all have a gospel story to tell. So this morning, as we pursue Jesus through the gospel, I want some of you to share your gospel story. I don't think we do this enough. I don't think we give how Jesus Christ saved us from our sin. So I just want to take a couple of you who are willing to raise your hand and give a testimony. Hey, how did you come to know Christ? Because I don't think we do it enough. We kind of take it for granted. And it is always a blessing for me to hear how someone came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Anyone willing this morning to meditate on your gospel story with us? How did you come to know Christ? Shelby. Yeah, and so, I mean, meditating on that with Shelby, I mean, that even at a young age taught her that God is a God that we can trust, that I can't ask hard enough. I mean, it's His grace. It's all by His mercy and grace that we're saved. And we deserve a lot. We deserve hell. But God has given us mercy and grace. And I have a very similar testimony. I got saved in fourth grade. It was during a Bible class in my Christian school. And we're going through the Easter story. And all of a sudden, I was just convicted of my sin. Like, hey, I don't really love God. I'm putting on a show. I just don't want to get in trouble. I need to confess my sin. And my Bible teacher in my Christian school led me to the Lord in the hallway. And my life's never been the same since. It's been awesome. Anyone else want to share? Maybe one or two more. Doesn't have to be long. How did God save you from your sin, Lisa? Yeah, just think about what you've been saved from. I mean, that is what you deserve. And it's awesome. Anyone else? Maybe one more. Ashlyn. Yeah, it's awesome that we can trust God with our souls. I mean, God has given us assurances. So, do you see how this, the gospel, is very relational? I mean, we all have different ways that we've come to know Jesus Christ, but we are all sinners, and the gospel ties us and anchors us to Jesus Christ. That's how we have a relationship with God, is only through Jesus Christ. And so all of us have come to know Him in different ways. It's all the same gospel, but we can't just forget about this. This is not something that's just like a one and done, like as soon as I'm saved, it's over and done with. Like, this is how we have a relationship with God. And so every time I confess my sin, I thank God for the gospel. And we ought to relive that in our minds over and over and over again. I once was blind, but now I see. It's simple. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. He's forgiven me. So it's not just a list of do's and don'ts. So even question for me, do I really understand what Christ has done for me? He was my substitute. He took my place. And that ought to draw our affection towards Jesus Christ, grow close to Jesus Christ. So we can pursue him by the simplicity of the gospel, but also we can pursue Christ by recounting the gospel. So we're going to go over a couple different ways we can do that and the way that Scriptures has laid that out. But I'm going to give you a date, okay, like a date on the calendar. And you guys tell me what you were doing on that day, okay? See if you can remember. August 14th, 2010. Any remember what you were doing? August 14th, 2010. John. No, you did not. August 14th, 2010.
Yes.
You remember that date?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. Caleb. And you remember, wow, you guys have a better memory than me. But like August 14th, 2010, most of you don't remember what you were doing because it wasn't very significant. But this is what I was doing on August 14th, 2010. I was getting married, right? Pretty significant day in my life. So I was getting married on August 14th, 2010. So you probably don't remember what it is. Pull it back in up here. There is a point for this. You don't remember, but I do because it's pretty significant for me. And every year, Jessica and I celebrate what's called an anniversary. Okay, so it'll be 7 years this coming August. Now, on our anniversary, we go out, we eat, and what do you think typically happens on our anniversary? I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but like sometimes, I remember a specific anniversary, we sat down and we took this photo album that Jessica made about our wedding, and we looked through it. And what do you think happens when we start to look through this wedding album? We start to, like, cry. Whoa. No. Tears of joy, right? So we start crying about the memories. We start sharing memories. We start asking questions. Hey, did you ever get cold feet about marrying me? And we start to remember, like, what happened as we look at the picture. And we start to recount everything that was going on. We start to laugh about how young my brothers look. We start to remember this day. We recount it. We go over it in our minds. And on our anniversary, hopefully as we do that, we find ourselves like sitting closer, holding hands, like our relationship is being strengthened. God has wired us this way that through experience, through shared experiences, we grow bonds, right? Have you guys ever been sitting with your friends and all of a sudden you oh, I think I just took over the Taylor Chapel airplay. Let's see. All right. We are watching you, senior saints. All right, so our hearts grow closer. God's wired us this way. When we have shared experiences, it creates bonds. How many of you ever sat with your friends like at a lunch table and you start talking about like when you're in elementary? Do you remember when? And you start laughing about it. And all of a sudden you're like, if I say the word Teddy Grahams, like a lot of you that went on mission trip, we'll probably remember that. We have a shared experience, right? And we go back to it, we remember it. Our relationship is strengthened based on remembering shared experiences. And so this is when our marriage relationship started on our anniversary, and we tell stories. So logically, if you have a vital and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and you think back to everything that he's done for you, you think back to the gospel, hopefully that will increase your relationship with him. It becomes more real in your life. So think through this question. I've thought through it often. Where would I be without my salvation? I mean, knowing myself, my life would be a mess. I mean, I would be in trouble. I'd be in all kinds of sin. And think about where you'd be without your salvation. This ought to draw our hearts to Christ. So what are some practical ways we can pursue Christ through the gospel? We're going to consider some this morning. So first one, number one, recount the gospel by preaching the gospel to yourself. What does that mean? Turn to Romans chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Romans chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And when a preacher starts preaching and starts to bring up the gospel, right? What is your automatic reaction? Because I know that sometimes when I've sat there, I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. I mean, I've heard this 1,000 times. Why don't you preach something that I need, right? You guys ever thought like that when somebody starts preaching through the gospel? Maybe I'm being too transparent. That's when my heart is cold to what Jesus Christ has done for me. The gospel is not only the entrance to your Christian life, guys. The grace that saved you is the grace that keeps you, helps you grow. And have you ever had someone come up to you and give you like a juicy piece of gossip and you're like, ah, man, that's old news, right? The good news of the gospel should never become old news to us. And sometimes it does. Because we're not meditating on it. We're not allowing that to grow a relationship with Christ. So the good news of the gospel should never become old. Do you find yourself cold to the gospel story this morning? That Jesus took your place. That he died for you. The gospel is even how you're even able to have a relationship with God. If Jessica pulled our wedding album out and said, hey, let's look through this. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about that. Like, there'd be some problems, right? Like, there would be some pretty deep problems in our relationship. But some of us are like, I don't want to talk about that. I know it. It's over. It's done with. Gospel is through. I've already been saved, right? So there's some problems there. So the gospel is so much more than our door to salvation. Here's the gospel. Here's some aspects of it. It's the good news that, hey, while we're sinners, there's good news. He saved us. But also, it's a way for you to see yourself as a sinner. It's a fight against pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you think about the gospel, you're like, man, I have been saved from so much. I deserve so much punishment, but Jesus took it for me. It's unique. It's personal. He saved each of us from different things, different pet sins. The relational connection, gives you a relationship with God. It's the cure for your spiritual blindness. I mean, we would still be blind and think that we've got it all together, that we don't need to be saved from our sin. It's objective and personal. What does that mean? It's for all people at all times. It's for people that we've never met. It applies to every single person on the whole planet. But also, it's a way for you to see Christ as your Savior. This is very relational. The gospel brings you and draws your heart closer to Christ. So there's a very big difference between you saying, you know what, you're recounting the gospel. Humanity fell into sin, and God sent Jesus to save humans from their sin. It's very different for you to say that than for you to say, you know what, I am a sinner. And Jesus came to save me from my sins. It's for everybody, but it's for us. And that draws your heart to Jesus Christ. Your relationship with him grows. So let's look at Romans 4, 7 through 8. As we read these verses, I want you to think through some applications for them. How can you practically apply these truths to preach the gospel to yourself? Romans 4, 7 through 8, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. He's quoting Psalms. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute. Anybody know what that word means, impute? To place upon. God's not going to place upon sin on those who've trusted Christ. So how do we use that to preach the gospel to yourself and draw your heart to Christ? Somebody give me like one or two quick applications. How do you use those truths? Blessed is the man. I want you to think a little. Nobody. That's not just for other people, that's for us, right? Romans 4, 7, 3, I'll read it one more time. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How do you apply that? I do want at least one. Lisa. Yeah, he doesn't take it into account anymore. He's not, when I take my credit card and I swipe it, that charge is being imputed to my account. When I sin, God is not imputing sin to my account. He's not placing that on me. It's no longer a charge against me, right? So that ought to draw my heart to Christ. My relationship with him grows. He does not hold my sin against me because I've placed my faith in Christ. Give me one more. Caleb. Yeah, he's not going to bring it back up. He separates our transgression as far as the east is from the west. He's never going to reunite us with our sin. I mean, that is an awesome thought. Sin that I committed yesterday, God's forgiven me for it, and he's never going to put that on my account because of the gospel, because of what Christ did for me. So the gospel is for you as a Christian, but we also have a massive responsibility, right? Our big responsibility is recount the gospel by sharing the gospel with others. Go and turn to Luke 8. Luke 8. And while you're turning there, I'm using this wedding album as an illustration. If I were to ask you, if you were to ask me to look at this wedding album with me, and I yanked it from you and hid it from you, again, there would be some big problems, right? Like I'm not wanting to share how wonderful my marriage is, right? I mean, like I'm wanting to hide it. There'd be a lot of problems there. So I love Jessica, and I love telling others that I love Jessica. I mean, I love my wife. I don't want to try to hide that. I don't want to be gross and mushy all the time, but like I don't want people to not know that I love my wife. So we can grow in our love for Jesus Christ when we share our love for him. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 38, in this passage, Jesus healed a man who'd been possessed with all kinds of demons, right? Thousands of them. He sends them out. They get into the pigs. The pigs jump over the cliff. And what happens to all the people who are watching this? They become very scared. They become fearful. And they try to run. So look at verse 38 with me. Now the excuse me. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. All he wanted was to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus has done unto him. So notice the results in verse number 40. People were afraid of him. They were scared of Jesus. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to respond. Verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, so he left. Later down the road, he came back to that city. The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Do you see what happened there? That guy who Jesus had saved went back to the city. The people who were scared of him and just wanted Jesus to leave, they were sending Jesus away. Because of what this man did and shared that Jesus did for him, they were waiting for him. And they wanted him to come back. They were waiting for him to return. Guys, we are all called to declare the great things that God had done for us. This man's love for Christ grew, and when you see Christ save others, if you've ever been a part of witnessing someone trust Christ as their Savior, I mean, that is something that is awesome. It's like going to change your life. I mean, my heart always is reminded of what Christ did for me when I watch others trust Christ. So turn to Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. I don't think we're actually going to finish everything this morning. But the gospel is for you, it's for others, but also it has an integral part in the church. Right? So we are to recount the gospel by worshiping the Savior with other believers. Preach the gospel to yourself, share it with others, but also talk about it in church. Man. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Skip down to verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Guys, God has ordained the church. God has built up the church as a place, not the specific building, but like the body of believers as a place for us to grow. To grow close to Christ. We cannot be growing if we're not fellowshipping with others in church. God tells us to. It's an integral part of our spiritual growth. So we're to meet together for fellowship, for accountability, for preaching, and also for growth. A lot of times I'll hear people say, you know what, I don't want to go to church because they're going to start asking me too many questions about my life. And like I don't want them to know, like, I've had a rough 2 years. I strayed from God, and like I'm just going to go find another church. Because that's like kind of against the point of what the church is. It's there for accountability. Hey, how you doing? How can you change? How can we help you? You know what? Then you take them back to the gospel. God's forgiven you. He's not imputed that sin to your account. The church is the place where we are to help each other grow. And so often we become so self-focused. We are to speak truth into the lives of other people. That is a responsibility that we all have. You come. And your responsibility scripturally is to speak truth into other people's lives, to recount the gospel, to talk about your relationship with God, to talk about what he's doing in your life. Now, I don't know much about this illustration I'm about to use, so I think there's some things that I wouldn't condone in this, but I know that Indianapolis is hosting something this coming year. It's called Comic-Con, right? The Comic Book Convention. I'm not preaching against it, but like if you were to go to Comic-Con, they all get together and they talk about like their favorite comic books, talk about like their favorite comic book heroes, and they talk about like how great these characters are, right? And some of them do, like they dress up. They want to be just like them. They want to look like them. They want to sound like them. They dress up in their favorite comic book characters, and they talk about how great they are together, right? And how about sports radio? You guys ever listen to sports radio? Like, maybe your dad does. They can talk about sports like all day, every day. The same team. They can talk about the Colts, and they're not even playing for like another 6 months, right? They can talk about these things over and over and over again. And as you talk about the team that you love, you start to like get more invested into your team, and your heart grows towards your favorite team. And guys, when we meet together, we're to be talking about what God is doing, about how great He is, and we ought to be like Him. And it is convicting for me to think about how excited we can get about Comic-Con or sports radio or talking about our favorite teams, and what lack of excitement we have when we get together to talk about God. I mean, there are people who can call into a sports radio, they know the stats, they know all these things about all their favorite players, Christians. But then if you ask them like a reference to a truth about God or a scripture passage, we don't know. And it's convicting that we are not getting together and being excited about talking about the things of God. The gospel is personal to you, but the gospel is not only for you. It's for everyone, it's to share, and you are to share it. When we hear others recognize how great God is, what He's doing in their lives, it ought to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. By recounting the gospel, it will remind me about what a wonderful Savior I have. How's your relationship with Christ doing? How are you doing at sharing your relationship with other people? We need to be intentional with this. We need to intentionally share what God is teaching us, what God is doing, because we'll intentionally share a lot of things that we love. But for some reason in our minds, it's gotten really weird to share spiritual things. And maybe if we're honest, it's because our heart doesn't love spiritual things. We're loving other things. It is a joy for me to come to church and see God working in your lives, to hear testimonies of what God is teaching you. So we've got to be intentional with it. And we're going to close with this. We're not going to finish the last point. Is this limited to service times? Like, is the only time we talk about spiritual things supposed to be Sunday and Wednesday? Obviously, the answer is no. So quickly in closing, I want you to share a couple things. What are some practical ways you can share your relationship with Jesus Christ with others here in youth group and in church? What are some other ways outside of church services you can do that? And let's be intentional with them. Set a goal to do them. Colin. Yeah, accountability partners. I mean, that is a scriptural idea to share, hey, what'd you learn in devotions today? Maybe study the same thing. It's encouraging to hear some of you doing that. You have accountability partners, you study the same thing and you talk about it. Jessica. Being part of a small group, going out of your way to study God's word together. Be like, man, this is an awesome thought right here. And you help each other grow. What else? Maybe one or two more. Apply it. How do we intentionally share a relationship with Christ? Encourage others. Hey, you notice someone struggling? They're doubting God's goodness? Look up some verses on God's goodness. Write them on a note. Slip it to them. Give it to them. And tell a personal illustration. Hey, you know what? God showed His goodness to me in this situation. I know it's rough right now, but here's some truths about God. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, that is encouraging when you hear those things. We're going to go ahead and close, and then we'll pick it up here next week. Father, thank You for the time that we've had just to talk about You and to talk about what You've done for us, and even the most foundational principle of our relationship with You, the gospel. Lord, I pray that would never get old to us, that it would never become old hat or old news, but that, Lord, You would help us to meditate on that consistently and regularly, that You would be glorified and honored in how we meditate on that personally, but also how we share it with others. Lord, give us a good day as we worship You together collectively in our main service this morning. I pray that Your name truly would be honored and glorified in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You're dismissed. If you could help with chairs, that'd be perfect. I got it to him. Yeah.